10 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Friday, and as promised, my very special guest for this Friday morning edition of the Dave Charles Show is Barry Holland. Now, Barry, welcome to the show. Welcome to the studio.
Thank
welcome
you.
To 88 FM, the voice of Bolito. I introduced you earlier before you arrived as, well, the legend. But I think a lot of folk may not be familiar with necessarily who Barry Holland is. So how would you introduce yourself to someone who possibly may not have heard of you?
Well, Dave, I suppose you would always go back to the central theme of my life, which is the Comrades Marathon. Having run it 49 times, it's always going to be a central river rowing, you know, flowing through my life. But there's always been so many other aspects to my life, business, obviously family. You know, I've got 12 grandchildren, for example. So, so you know, it's so those are all very, very important parts of Barry Holland's life. And business was once no longer really in business, but I loved business and I loved the things I did in business. So I'm sure we're going to unpack some of those things. But you know, I don't like to live up to the tag of legend. I just do what I've done over the years, and I've loved doing it.
What would you say is the one thing that people are particularly surprised to find out about you?
Perhaps that I'm very emotional.
Ah.
Very, very, very emotional. I mean, I can be telling stories, and then if I'm talking about, I've done a lot of talks on comrades and things like that, you know, addressed a lot of clubs and different institutions and organizations and things like that. And yeah, when I'm getting involved in those things, which I love so much, I can get very, very emotional. You know?
Do you find that something that's become more so as time has gone by?
Yes, yes. Yes, I seem, I don't know why, but in my early years, maybe it was just maybe I was just in it and living it, and you know, I'm not sure, but more recently, absolutely, more and more emotional.
I think this, it's true that if you are naturally an emotional human being, which apparently is very closely tied to intelligence, by the way, because I similarly share that trait. But I must confess to I can read a piece in a you know, or watch a commercial that is moving, and I find that the tears come.
No, absolutely. And the other thing that people might not know about me is that I don't do blood. I'm terribly, terribly squeamish. I've had some bad incidences in my life when normally associated with something that's close to me, either family or a dog or something like that, and I'm just terrible. Absolutely, I can fall down on the floor.
Wow,
faint. I'm terrible. I can't even watch it on television. If there's a medical show on television and they're doing an operation and cutting somebody open, no, I must look away. I can't do that.
Wow, that's interesting. So if there was one phrase to sum up in a nutshell what you are about, what your values are, who you have become, what you possibly aim to still achieve, what would that be? One phrase.
I hope I would be remembered as someone that was always highly ethical, very, very committed, and very passionate about everything I've done in my life.
That is actually I think one can't put a high enough price on passion, because that is something that is in short supply in the 21st century that we live in. I think commitment, dedication to the cause, firm, honest, upright commitment and passion to achieve and push through.
Absolutely, wonderful. Because I think if you want to succeed, and from a very young age, I wanted to succeed in whatever I did, whether it was my running career or my business career, unless you've got passion, I think you're highly unlikely to you will do those things, and you'll have some success. If you've, in running terms, if you've got talent, you know, your talent comes from your genes, that comes from your parents. You can't really change that. But to use it correctly and to fulfill those areas of your life, you have to do it with passion.
Ah,
really. And you know, I've had so many aspects of my life that have been so gratifying. Club life, you know, I was I was very, very involved in Chippy Quondam up in Joburg. I lived in Joburg for 37 odd years, and I had a massive hand in building Chippy Quondam as a club. Right from when I joined them in 1976, I went to Joburg in 1976 when Joburg was burning. It was Soweto Rights.
Yes.
So Joburg was literally burning, and Hector Peterson was running down the road, as that iconic photograph, you know, has lived for so many years. And I built Jeppy into what I believe the running club should all be about. And
you've given a lot back, and you I would suggest also that one thing that you left out about yourself in that phrase is generosity. You have tremendous generosity of spirit. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about your running, and we'll talk about so much more. But we've also got some really cool tunes that you sent through, and a couple of them are standards, but one of them in particular is a little bit, you know, I would have said,
different.
Okay, Barbra Streisand, interesting. But let's talk about the first one here, is Bob Seger's Against the Wind. Why did you choose that one?
I just love the words. Listen, if you listen to the words, you know, listen to the music. He's a wonderful musician, incredible pianist, fantastic songwriter, and the Silver Bullet Band who back him are, you know, world class. But if you listen to the words, one line in there that runs through that, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. If you think about that, if you didn't know now what you didn't know then, how different your life could be.
Absolutely right. And here it is, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Against the Wind. A beautiful tune by Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Against the Wind. First choice of music from my guest, Barry Holland, who's in the studio on the Dave Charles Show on this happy Friday morning. On the Dave Charles Show, the world will fall. So Barry, we talked about, well, I did in the beginning, before you were even in the studio, Barry Holland, the legend. And you alluded to the fact, just in a cursory introduction, that you've run the Comrades Marathon, the Ultra Marathon of Marathons, 49 times. Now, I put it to you that some people have a go, and if they achieve it once in their lifetimes, that is a life-changing achievement. You've done it 49 times, which is quite something. What first sparked your interest in running?
It was fascinating, Dave, and it's a lovely story. I used to go down, my folks played bowls down at RDLI, that's Royal Durban Light Infantry, which we should know is just inside the Greywell Racecourse, and it's obviously an army establishment, and there's a club there, and called the RDLI Club, and they played bowls there. And I was often there on a weekend, you know, just messing around the club and whatever. And I was there one day, and there was a hell of a racket going on kind of just next door. And I went down to see what this was all about. And in fact, it was the finish of the Comrades Marathon. I knew nothing about it. It's certainly the most iconic finish of any Comrades in 100 years. You know, we're coming up for the 100th running of the Comrades next year. And it was the most iconic because Tommy Malone famously was carrying the Mayor's Scroll. He collapsed 3-4 meters from the line. He was being chased home by a guy called Marnie Kuhn. Tommy fell. He cramped and fell. Marnie flashed past him and beat him by 1 second. So you can imagine Tommy Malone running 90 kilometers and losing Comrades Marathon by 1 second. And I was there. So I was a little lighty of 15 years old, and I was there's a wonderful, wonderful photograph of Tommy reaching out in desperation for the line. He's up on all fours, and the scroll is lying on the grass next to him, the Mayor's Scroll, and I was there. I was peering between people's legs. I wasn't tall enough to look over their shoulders, so I was peering between their legs, and this guy fell. Tommy fell at my feet, basically, you know. I mean, Comrades wasn't anything like it is today with the infrastructure. It was basically a couple of poles in the ground with a piece of tape and, you know, that. And I just thought, wow, what is this? This is something, and something sparked in me then. And I just said, then I had to do it, you know. And that was the spark that or the little fire that was lit in me to say, I have to be part of this thing. And I think as a Durban, I'm a Durban born and bred. I was born and bred in Durban North. And I think that comrades is kind of part of a Durban boy's DNA in a way. I think a lot of Durban guys will say, hell, this comrades thing, let me, as you say, even if it's one, let me have a crack. Let me try and do this thing. Because we know it's a hell of a thing. I mean, it's 90 kilometers and it's not flat. It's not along the beachfront. It's over some mountains. Well, on the uprun, certainly hills that are so famous, they've got their own name. There's five of them that have all got their own name. That's how iconic they are. So that was my, excuse me, that was my start. You know,
So that would have been a moment in your life. One of them, I'm sure there have been many, but probably one of the most important moments in your life, that witnessing of that dramatic finish that changed your life, the life course.
If you say life changing, and often that's a very glib, it was a life changing moment. Yeah, how much is it? That was life changing.
Wow.
No shadow of a doubt. And it is still the most iconic finish of the comrades of all time. You know, and interesting, the two protagonists, you know, Marnie Kuhn was this big, strong Afrikaner, and Tommy Malone was this little Scotsman with a broad Scottish accent, and they had duelled the year before, and Tommy had won, and Marnie had come second, and here was the return match where Tommy was due to make it a double, but for four or five meters.
Wow.
And 1 second.
And that's how it goes in life.
In life.
And in the Comrades Marathon particularly. 49 times you have run this iconic event over a lifetime. Was there ever a time when you were tempted to just, you know, pack it in?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I gave it up. I did. I always said, people said to me, you know, when I'd run 15, 20, 25, 30 comrades, you know, oh, when will you pack it in? You know, and I said, listen, guys, I don't know. I'm sure that one morning I'm going to wake up and say, yeah, I've had enough of this thing now. I'm done. I'm out. And it happened. We were living up in Johannesburg, and I think I'd run 32 or 33 comrades. And I just said, that's it. I'm done, you know. And I went to the club, and the club said, oh, that's terrible news, but, you know, we're so thankful what you've done and the record that you hold and all of the lovely things and everything. We had this massive party. They did a huge thing. They did an AV of my running career. They made speeches. It was very emotional. They gave me the most magnificent bottle of wine, which I've still got. I hope it's not vinegar, but it's 3 liters of Milas Rubicon, which is proper, as you would imagine, in a box with the most beautiful inscription on the side that reads something like, it takes people to set the boundaries to it for others to follow, or to show them where the boundaries are, something like that. Anyway, and I did all this and I retired. That was me done. And then my wife Debbie was going out running. Why are you running now? Why are you going and training? You know, well, you gave up comrades, not me. I'm running, you know. Helen, this didn't sit well. And I lie in bed in the morning, and she was out training, and I was at home. And I thought, this is not quite what it was supposed to be like, you know. I didn't think it was the end result, you know. And it just got to me and got to me and got to me. And then I woke up one morning. I said, no, bugger this. I'm going. And this was now already in jeepers, in March, well into comrades training time, and I'd done no training. And I thought, well, so I did a crash course, and thank God got through, and ran comrades that year. So I kept my unbeaten, because my 49 were all consecutive.
Didn't they not want to take the wine back?
I said, you can, we'll revisit the AV and everything, but you can't have the wine back now.
Yeah, let's take another musical interlude, another of your tunes, although this is not the Eagles version, it's Paul Carrack's version of a beautiful tune, Love Will Keep Us Alive. I think the song speaks for itself, but what does it mean to you?
Okay, so this is very emotional for myself and Debbie, because this was kind of our song, like when a couple have our song. We had both been through a divorce. As we know, divorces are exceptionally emotional and stressful, and we, you know, it's not something that you could ever recommend to anybody. But if it happens, it happens, and it's part of life. And this just happened to be our song, so it's, you know, we would just listen to the words of this, and you know, love will keep us alive.
Ah, special tune, my special guest Barry Holland. And who knew you were such a romantic? Well, it is. It's true. Everyone has much more to them than is possibly at the surface available for access. But you have had an extraordinary career in various different fields, but your running is really what sets you apart from almost everyone on the planet. And recently you did step away, and I think it was tremendously, I'm not going to be putting words in your mouth. You might not have even stepped away. As far as I was aware, you were going for the 50. You had health issues, and then bravely said, "Okay, I'm not going to." Which was, I think, extraordinarily, well, brave. Absolutely, a measure of the kind of character of the man. Absolutely, and I think it makes you much more relatable to the average person who has adversity, faces adversity. You don't always win, but that's not the end of the story. Yeah. What are you working on right now that genuinely excites you?
Thank you for that question. Wonderful. So hopefully not a replacement for my running, because I would love to think that I could run Comrades again this year is out, definitely, but next year, of course, is the 100th running of the Comrades. Wow. Which is very, very special. It's the 100th Comrades Marathon run, as opposed to the 100th year. Comrades started in 1921, and we're now obviously way past that, but we've had the war years when it wasn't, and we had COVID, so those are the years when the Comrades wasn't run. But now what I'm on the Comrades board now, Dave, so got elected to the board, and I'm loving that work, really loving that work. And again, a chance to give back to this, you know, an event that has given me so much in my life. But more importantly, on the board, we've got a small group, just seven of us, with some, I think, clear, intelligent, passionate, clear-thinking people. The group is called the V427. It's the Vision for 27. And what we are charged with is painting a picture for the board of what 27 is going to look like, because it has to be special. I mean, it's the 100th running of this iconic race, so we have to make it special. So I'm part of that group and absolutely loving that input and those ideas. And we brainstorm. Bruce Fordyce is on that group with me. And really, really great bunch of guys who have all run multiple Comrades, and a guy like Bruce won it 9 times. But the work we're doing there is, to me, very, very satisfying. So I've got 2 projects that I'm working on specifically. I'll lead those projects. And one will be to open up Comrades to the younger folk, and like all great races around the world, have other running events attached to it that is not just 90Ks, because, as you said earlier, not everybody wants to or can run 90Ks. So that element is to bring other people, moms, dads, children, whatever, into the Comrades fold and allow them to participate in the 100th running or the 100th celebration. And then another one is more how do we involve some of the legends of the race that can no longer or can barely run, can barely, you know, might be able to walk. So I'm building an idea at the moment, concept at the moment, which allows some of those legends. I had a call from a guy called Dennis Tobacco. Now, most runners won't even know Dennis Brackenridge for way back when. But Dennis was the guy that started what we call Jardine Joggers. Now, it goes back further. Ian Jardine was the blind runner that ran comrades being held on a hanky. So his a guy led him all the way on Comrades Day holding a hanky. Ian was completely sightless. He couldn't see. And Dennis picked up on this thing and started the Jardine Joggers, where they got people to take blind runners through in honor of Ian Jardine. So Dennis, I've known a long, long time, and Dennis phoned me one day and he said, you know, Barry, with the 100th coming up, what are we going to do? I can't run comrades. Dennis is 80 years old now. I can't run comrades. I said, Dennis, I'll be working on something that allows you to participate in this 100th running. So those are the things I'm working on at the moment and absolutely loving it. I mean, that's just, it's not a replacement for running.
Yeah.
nothing can replace that 50th comrades for me. But to some extent, I've had to rationalize it in my mind and say, if through my health issues which were brought on by COVID, if I can't run that 50th comrades, you know, sometimes there's more to life, eh?
Absolutely.
You could be living in Gaza. You could be living in Tehran. Is one comrades the worst thing in the world?
Oh, absolutely. No, this is the point. Life is a peculiar journey. It's a short journey. And I love to use the expression when talking about the fact that we are all just walking each other home.
Mm.
If you have to think about it, what has been the best piece of advice anyone has ever given you?
Sure. That's quite a hard one. Perhaps that you have to strive for excellence, that you don't, I was taught a long, long time ago that you don't, you know, I'm not as bad as Hank McGregor. I'd love you to help get Hank behind this microphone, because running with Hank in the early years, and Hank is an outstanding athlete, by the way, as he is a paddler, but he's an incredible athlete, a running athlete. And he was brought up in a household where he said to me, unfortunately, second was just not a word that we had in our household. Second did not exist in his household. Hard way to come up. And I didn't come up that way, but I think that advice that was given to me was that you have to really shoot for the stars. If you've got any chance of hitting the moon, you've got to be aiming right up there. And whether it was in business or running or whatever, you know, I in my running career, with a little bit of thought and a little bit of brain power behind running, worked out what my potential best times were over every distance, from 8Ks right through to 15 and 21Ks and 32 and 42, which then an ultra marathon like Oceans, and then finally Comrades. I worked out all of what those times were, and I set out to crack every single one of them. And I did. You know, my best possible time at Comrades, theoretically and in terms of the data, was 6:26, and I ran 6:29. So I'm happy. I'll 3 minutes on Comrades, I'm not going to worry about it. And so forth and so on. So that advice given to me in those early years was that you've got to shoot for those things. Don't. You know, not like second is no good. You know, because I've come second many times in my life. But if you're not prepared to, the advice I give to a lot of
I was going to ask you in conclusion.
Yeah,
what would be the best piece of advice you could give to someone listening right now, and wondering about life and the challenges that lie ahead, from a master that has faced more than most people ever will, and is still in there batting?
It's quite simple. I will say to people that if you're not prepared to fail, you're unlikely to succeed.
Wow. 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 Okay. Very, very deep, Barry. Deep and emotional, and I've enjoyed every minute of our conversation. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
We're going to be playing out with the last tune that you selected, which I mentioned was a bit
off the wall,
left of center for us, but nonetheless an interesting choice. Barbara Streisand and Secondhand Rose. Yeah. What is the significance?
Okay, so my very first business was a mobile discotheque. A friend of mine, we were at Varsity together, and we were in the Union, you know, the Union Hall, which is the central hall of most varsities. And we were there on a Friday night, and there was a thing going on, and there was a DJ. And I turned to this mate of mine, his name was Hilton, Jewish guy, Hilton Silberg. And I said to him, this guy's muck. I mean, we can do better. You know, we both love music, and Hilton was, in fact, a champion, South African champion ballroom dancer. He was music flowed through his body. And I said to him, we can do better. And so we started a mobile discotheque. His dad helped with equipment. My dad was an electrical guy, so he built flashing lights and all of that, and great. And as part of our discotheque, we became a little bit more, just not just playing music. We wanted to entertain. So of an evening, which we were playing at a 21st birthday or a wedding or a whatever, we would have little skits, and we did a lot of miming. So we learned these things, and this was one of the ones that we did. Secondhand Rose, we used to put some silly hats on and mime to the Barbra Streisand and Secondhand Rose. So that was part of our business.
I'm waiting for the mime. Barry's doing all of the old routine again, the shtick. Hopefully we'll see that in action at one of the club nights. I look forward to that hugely. My very special guest this Friday morning has been Barry Holland. Barry, it's been an absolute pleasure having
Thank
a
you.
Conversation, and I wish you huge success for the 27 year of the 100th anniversary of the Comrades, 2027. What a challenge and what an honor to be part of that elite group of, I would call them all legends, that are taking this to new heights. And your life has been magnificent and an inspiration to all of us. Thank you for sharing. And I as I say, look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you, David. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.